Thanks for coming in and sitting down with us. We're really excited to meet a few good engineers to join the Pied Piper team.
So why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
I don't work before noon or after 2 p.m. And I need to bring my dog to work. Are you dog friendly?
Oh yeah, you can bring your dog to work.
That's not what I asked. Are you dog friendly?
Nice pool. Can my dog go in?
Yeah,
we're very dog friendly.
Is there a lifeguard? Because my dog can't swim.
No, it says here on your resume that from 2010 to 2011, you crushed it?
But that's actually an old resume. It should also read that I crushed it from 2013 to present.
Wouldn't it be nice if every day you came home from work and you said, I crushed it today. And in 2015, I'm killing it. Yet it doesn't always feel that way at work. And I'm Robin. Welcome to Eastlake. This is a church for everyone. And we're in this series talking about how do we find something more than a paycheck at work? How do we find something that goes beyond paying the bills? Find meaning and purpose at work. We'll spend 40% of our waking hours at our jobs. One survey in a magazine showed that 75% of us are frustrated at our work. And that when you're frustrated at your work, it'll take years off your life. They did this study and they find out that frustration actually affects lifespan. If you're super, super frustrated, you're going to live not nearly as long. Sometimes I feel like I'm not going to make it till Tuesday. You know, frustrated at work. And we're not the first society to struggle with this. There was a king that lived thousands of years ago, wealthy and rich. And look what he said about work. Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. Sounds like Eeyore, Debbie Downer. It's all meaningless. What do people really get for all of their hard work? But at some point, we sort of resonate with that. And what's the point of it all? What does it all mean? Is it just wash, rinse, repeat every single day? I get up in the morning and I eat the same old breakfast and I put on the same old clothes. And I get in the same old car and I drive the same old way to work. I get to the same old job and I do the same old work with the same old people. And at the end of the day, I go back and get in the same old car. I turn on the same old music. I drive the same old way home. I get to the same old house. I come in and I have the same old dinner. I watch the same old show. I get into the same old bed. I ask the wife the same old question. I get the same old answer. Whatever that might be. And I do it all again the next day. Is there anything more to it? How do we find purpose? This series is about how to find meaning. It seems like we code two different places with work. It's either our entire identity is wrapped up in work, or it's just a paycheck. But here's the truth. God invented work. It was his idea. Let me read you something from the Bible about work. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. The first time we see God in the Bible, he's working. He created the whole universe and the planets and this earth and all that's here. And then he created two people. I don't know how much you know about Adam and Eve. I'll read you a little bit about them. The Lord took the man and put him in a garden of Eden to work it and take care of him. So God's working. He creates some people, and they're just like him. They're working. Adam and Eve, maybe you heard about them. They ran around with no clothes on, lived in a garden, ate an apple, and messed everything up for everybody else. But there's more to it than that. Before there was ever a problem, before anybody disobeyed God, there was work. God created a garden, a context. He gave them a job and said, one of the ways that we'll relate to each other, one of the ways I'll be with you is at your job. You'll be working in this garden. Jesus affirmed it when he said, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I am working too. And yet that isn't the typical idea about a job. Most of us are like, I gotta get a paycheck, so I owe, off to work I go. But can it be something more? It's either gonna be a place that I find purpose, or it's gonna be a burden, one or the other. And I would like to suggest what tips the scales is when my relationship with God joins me in the workplace. It's the big idea this weekend. You can write it in your notes. Connecting my job with Jesus gives me a purpose at work. And we read, whatever work you do, circle that. Do it with all your heart. Do it for the Lord and not for men. Remember that you will get your reward from the Lord. He will give you what you should receive. You're working for the Lord Christ. Now, I'm not talking about battering people with religion at the workplace at all. What I am saying is, what would your work be like if every day you worked with or even for Jesus? If you showed up there and beyond your coworkers and beyond the goals you're supposed to hit and beyond whoever your boss is, what if every day you just showed up at your workplace and you knew you were working with Jesus there? There was a connection. Or even working for Jesus there. How would things be different? Jesus creates this bridge between heaven and earth. He said, hallowed be thy name, our Father in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The question is, how do I get a little heaven into my workplace? And when I can connect my job with Jesus, I have purpose at work. Now, let's look at a couple benefits of it. If God invented work for my benefit, what are a few of them? Number one, work creates opportunities. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. So I don't know what your particular skills are. What do you bring to the table at work? And we can't all be skilled in everything. Everybody can't be an awesome multitasker and a super salesman. And I'm great with numbers and spreadsheets. But when you think about work, what is it that you bring to the table at work? What are your skills in the workplace? Here's one skill that we can all have. It's the skill of being a hard worker. And boy, does it stand out. Listen to what Thomas Edison said about it. Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. Recently, my wife and I had to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles, which everybody cherishes that. And we get there, and I just have a little paperwork I have to tend to. And, you know, you come in, you get a number, and eventually you go to a counter spot. And as I'm walking up to the counter spot, I notice everybody seems completely happy, and they're, like, talking back and forth, and they're looking at their computers. And I walk up to my lady to get my work done, and she hardly acknowledges my wife and I at first. And when she does, she seems a little annoyed. And that's when I discovered that everybody was watching YouTube. All at the little stalls, they all had YouTube on, and they were all laughing at something on their phone. And suddenly, I felt like an interruption. And then she asked me what I needed. And throughout the process, it wasn't real complicated. I had some paperwork I had to get done. And she just got a little bit more annoyed as we went, a little bit more annoyed. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's all like, and now in the process, she starts to get an attitude. Because everybody else is getting to watch YouTube on their computers, and they're having fun, and they're throwing their phone to each other. It's just awesome. And you've seen people at work before that they're at their computer, and they're pretending to work, but they're actually playing solitaire. You know, I go to work and I take a selfie and then I send it off to somebody with this little caption on it because I need them to see how witty I am. And I'm supposed to be working. You know, she's getting annoyed because I've interrupted the YouTube party. It was all I could do to not say to her, "You're a public servant and I'm the public. I actually pay your salary." Ethic. How hard do you work? It's the one skill that we can all have. Look at your notes here. There's a fill-in. How we work is the profession of what we believe. When I say the word professional, you probably think of someone in a white shirt and a tie, all dressed up, and they're very professional, maybe with an attaché case. But the word actually comes from the 15th century, and it was a church word. It was a part of the Reformation. And at that time, the church leaders had convinced the average, everyday Christian that they couldn't make a difference for God. In fact, they could barely have a relationship with Jesus. And so there was this groundswell of Christians that said, we want something more. And they were part of this Reformation. And they coined this word professional. And what a professional was someone that understood their faith in God could be professed everywhere they go, at home, at play, and at work. And a professional was someone that had learned how to blend their relationship with God into the workplace, and they were called professionals, not some geek in a tie. A professional. They got more than a paycheck. They got the satisfaction of knowing they had captured every opportunity. Do you realize how many people you know at work and the stories about them? Where I work at, there's one person that sat next to me for the last 3 years. He had his second bone marrow transplant in the last year and a half. He's fighting leukemia. There's another young woman there that had been dating someone ever since she was a sophomore in high school, 5 years, and he just suddenly broke up with her, and now she's trying to get past it. Another guy moved out, just married, new baby, moved out to California to take this awesome job. It didn't work out, and now he's back trying to put the pieces together again. One friend of mine has a pretty serious heart condition. He sort of scares me and worries me at times. I check up on him. A year and a half ago, he thought he had it all together. Man, he had this woman. He was in this relationship. He was going to marry her, and then found out she was cheating on him. Everything flew apart. Some of what we know at work is bad news, but we know it. And some is good news. I work with this guy that's getting back with his first wife. He married her when he was young, and they were married a few years. They got divorced. He went on, she went on, and they met not too long ago, and they decided maybe we were supposed to be together. And they're working it out, and it's coming together for them. It's kind of a neat story. I know another guy that bought his dream sport boat. He has the dream payment that goes with it, but it's his dream sport boat. I got a guy that I've been working with for a while, and I've got to know him fairly well, and he struggled with alcohol almost his entire life since a young teenager. And 2 weeks ago, he got down before God and said, God, I am so, and he's not a church guy. He said, God, I am so done with alcohol. Everything's coming apart in his life. I'm so done with being drunk every night. I am just so done. God, please just take me. He hasn't had a drink in 2 weeks. What stories do you know about the people that you work with? Just imagine. A lot of people meet their spouses there. They make their best friends there. There is a ton of opportunities in the workplace. And one of the benefits of work is that we meet all kinds of people, and we know all sorts of different things about their lives, and it creates an opportunity for us. See, God made work, invented it, for your benefit, my benefit. And one of the benefits is there's a lot of opportunities in the workplace. Number two, work builds character. Circumstances come and go, character remains. All of life is built on character. If you want to be comfortable, it better be on a foundation of character, because comfort comes and goes. But character remains. And the workplace is a fantastic spot. It's like a little university that we work at and attend. I attend the University of Mark Miller Toyota, and I'm currently taking a class there entitled How to Have a Good Attitude When You Disagree with Your Boss. I don't know what your classes are, what university you attend. Growth is a process. And it's a refresher course for me, by the way. I've been in this course before and thought I had passed and would never take it again, and now I'm back. I was an assistant pastor in the Sacramento area for 17 years. It was awesome, great church, lots of people came to know God. So many really, really great things happened there. But I served another man's vision. And we didn't always see eye to eye. There was things in that church I didn't necessarily understand or agree with. And I was in a prolonged course. How do we have a good attitude when we disagree with our boss? Because I would watch my attitude come and go based on what I agreed with in the workplace. I was running stuff around here. I can't even believe we're doing that. They didn't even ask my opinion. They've made a tremendous amount of changes at Mark Miller Toyota, where I work lately, and they didn't ask me to even cast a vote. And it affects my life. A lot of some of them I don't agree with. So now I'm in this refresher course. Here's some of the classes that that are offered at the University of Character Building, which is our jobs. Here's some of them. Honesty, integrity, dependability, forgiveness, patience, flexibility, enthusiasm, fairness, and that's just freshman year. What classes are you enrolled in? And by the way, character comes as a process. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just buy a pill, drink a milkshake, and all of a sudden you had character? It's a process. Look what the Bible says here in the book of Luke. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? If you can't be trusted to be an assistant pastor somewhere and serve someone else's vision, who could ever trust you to come to a place like this and be with you? Are you trustworthy with your job? And I know how it is for some of us. We're like, oh, my job sucks. You don't understand. They don't appreciate me there. But someday I'm going to get a real job, and then you'll see the real me. That's when I'll really show you how good of a worker I can be, when I get a real job. So what I'm actually saying at that point is I'm not trustworthy with the job that I have now. So if you want something more, do something now at your job, because it's building character. Now, a question for you. If I were to say the University of, and then plug your job in there, where do you go to school? And what course may the Lord be asking you to take? And you're focused on your paycheck, or somebody else got the promotion, or I can't believe how stupid my boss is, which could all be true. And God's saying, I'm wanting to teach you something, because I have some plans for your life, but it's going to take character building for you to be able to live in. Do you know the most uncaring thing you can do for someone is put them in a situation that is far too great for them to handle? How would any of us feel if a parent came and they said, you won't believe, they got a five-year-old, you will not believe what I got my five-year-old for their birthday. It's going to be awesome. I got him a new motorcycle. It's going to be so cool. And you know, I love him so much, I'm not going to make him take any training or wear a helmet or anything. I'm just going to put him on the bike and let him roll. Would that be love? And yet, do you know a lot of us want that? Just let me roll, God. Just give it to me. Lord, can't you see? I'm the CEO. Am I? Or do I need to build character? And God has a class that I'm in, and I never turn any assignments in, because I'm so upset and angry and frustrated because I don't have what I want at my job. See, God, work was God's idea, and he invented it very purposely so character could be built. So just take your notes real quick, and I just want to have you write something. Just write this. I am currently enrolled in the University of, and then write the name of the place that you work. I am currently enrolled in the University of... And of course, if you're a guy, you're way too cool to take notes, and we know that. So we'll say something at the end when you leave. You're so cool, you don't take notes. Could I be like you? Well, I know that. I understand. That's how guys are. That's why they get married. So someone can take notes for them. Number three, work wins respect. The first thing is, if I'm willing to see work from the perspective of joining my relationship with Jesus at my job, it's going to create all these opportunities, because we know lots of things about people we work with. There's tremendous opportunity to be something. You can have meaning at your job beyond the paycheck by just getting into different people's stories and being something for them. My friend who has leukemia, one of his relatives sent out a Facebook yesterday, and I found out now he's paralyzed from the waist down after the bone marrow transplant. I talked to him just before he went into it. He's a tough man, but it's taken a toll on him. And she put in the Facebook the address that you could send a card to him, and she said he loves to be encouraged by people writing him things. So I'm in Facebook, and I'm on my phone, and I'm trying to copy and paste this address so I can send it to myself in the email so I can send him a note. And I can't get the frickin' thing to copy and paste, and pretty soon I'm mad at my phone. I can't even believe this, man. I can't copy and paste this thing. And I set my phone down, and for just a moment, it was like a question, was I actually too lazy to write the address down on a piece of paper for a guy that's paralyzed from the waist down that sat next to me for 3 years, 10 feet away? Oh, my phone sucks. It's really way too much work. I was like, what the heck? He's going through a story. And it was a question for me if I could even move a pen across the paper. When one of his relatives took the time to tell everybody who would read it, it means so much to him when he gets a card. Who do you know at work and you're just watching? It's just too much effort. You're just watching. And then you go home from work every day and go, same old job that sucks. What am I going to get? And there's an opportunity right there for you, man. It will fill you with purpose and meaning beyond a paycheck. And then the second thing, and it's really cool, is it builds character in us. So when we come up against those situations, we can do them. And the last one is respect. Let me read you what some of the first people that started the Christian church had to say. That's in your notes. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Here's what they're saying. They're saying, we didn't come to take, came to give. These people that started the Christian church, when they would go into these towns, they worked. They were professionals. And their life would profess in the workplace, and people would see them and say, gosh, they're not taking anything, they're giving. They'd work all day long and then do church and pray for people and counsel with them and talk with them. And people were taken back by it because they were very used to a religion that was takers. Religious leaders have said, it's your job to give to me. And Christianity comes on the scene as very, very different. We're willing to work. It was very important to them that they sent the message, you can trust me. Look at this next section in your Bible. Make it your goal. Circle that. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. Then people who are not believers will respect the way you live. They didn't care about God. They don't care about church or anything like this, but they'll just see the way your life professes, and they'll be like, wow, what's up with them? To win respect. Now the bottom line in all this is how does it occur? Because I know you can leave with three happy hops today and go, oh, those are the three things I'm going to try to do. But it really isn't about that at all. This is, you know, this isn't a Tony Robbins, you can walk on coals You know, just confess it and believe it and you can achieve it. Because the power is not within you. If you're looking there, you're never going to find it. Or you'll never find enough of it. You'll reach your own time where you won't have just enough power that you need to reach for a pen and write down an address so you can send your friend a card. If you're trying to find the power inside, you'll find some. But you'll find many times you won't find enough. Now here's the bottom line. There's power in the partnership. See, it's a partnership at work. Christianity is not a movement of self-help. And it's not a movement of principles to take home and white-knuckle your life to accomplish. It's not that. It's about having a relationship with someone. Do you know what the power of Christianity is? The resurrection. Without that, it's just a really cool story. Not unlike other cool stories. But the power is the resurrection. He's alive. He can be with me at work. He can strengthen me at work. I can partner with him at work. The whole goal of this series is this. What would my life look like if I joined my job with my relationship with Jesus? It said in one section that there's this reward that comes from Jesus. We show up and we work for him and there's a reward. And certainly we all need a paycheck. And I know God cares about that. And that is a reward, a material reward. But what if there's a spiritual reward? And that reward is purpose. Meaning. I matter. I made a difference in the divine plan. Something happened because of me. And how I walk with Jesus and how I walk with God. You may be here today and you're just kicking the tires of Christianity. You're like, well, I don't walk with God at all or know Jesus at all. He cares about you. I'm going to push around or pressure you. But if you are struggling in the workplace, maybe you might consider what it would be like if you partnered. Maybe, do you know, God listens to everyone's prayers. And to be a churchgoer or religious, doesn't matter your background. But if you just started your day and said, if you are alive, Jesus. I know sometimes you stand on a stage, people think, well, you're all that, you're a Christian. Do you know, when I gave my life to Jesus, this is what I told him. I've always believed in you. I have no idea who you are or if you care about me. I'm going to give you 2 weeks to prove it. Can you imagine the gall of a little pipsqueak talking to the God of the universe? You got 2 weeks, God, and then you're out of here. And he loved me and responded. I think he probably looked at me and said, there, little boy. Come and be with me. So wherever you're at today, and you're in the workplace and it's overwhelming, you can approach him. Listen to this in the Bible, power in the partnerships. So Jesus explained, talking about what it was like for him in his work. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees his Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son. Wouldn't that be amazing if you were to put your name in there? For the Father loves Robin. For the Father loves your name. And shows him everything he's doing. How cool would that be able to see all that God's doing in your workplace? Because he loves you. See, the power is in the partnership.